To Judges chapter 11, please. Judges chapter 11. Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Amen. Amen? Amen? You read something in your Bible and you say, I don't see how that's profitable. Well, that doesn't mean it's not. Maybe you just don't see it. And so we ask the question, what is it that the Lord wants us to learn? There's a story tonight. We're in the middle of Judges chapter 11. I'm going to look at verses 12 through 28. And there is this group of people. And, of course, they came along earlier in the chapter. They are the children of Ammon. We'll just kind of leave it at that. Some names are mentioned later, but the children of Ammon are the ones we're interested in. And do you remember that Ammon is the descendants of one of Lot's daughters? Lot had an incestuous relationship with his two daughters, and the Moabites and the Ammonites were a result of that. And they're enemies of God's people. They always have been enemies of God's people. And, of course, many years had passed since Lot's days. But Ammon is, if you just need to know a little bit of geography here, if you think of the map of the nation of Israel, and the Dead Sea is the large body of water. It's a little south and truly a little bit east of Jerusalem, not too much south, but east of Jerusalem, and the Jordan River flows into it from the north, the Sea of Galilee up higher. On the east side, which would be away from the Mediterranean, on the east side, if you're looking at the map like this, and the Dead Sea is right here, on the east side, between the Dead Sea and about halfway or more up to the Sea of Galilee, there's a region that was occupied by the tribes of Reuben and Gad. All right? And those two tribes, they were located on the east side of the Jordan. And most of the rest of the tribes are, of course, between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea. But those two tribes had been there, and they'd been there ever since the people took the land back in Joshua's day. And even before that, Israel had traveled around that area just a little bit. But anyway, that area right there where those two tribes are located had been taken from the Ammonites. The Ammonites had originally had that land, and the Ammonites and the Moabites were right there, just right on one on top of the other on the east side of the Jordan, and Israel had taken that land away from them. I really probably shouldn't have told you that quite yet, because the way they took it is what really matters. But anyway, the children of Ammon came and they said, we want our land back. And they promised war if they would not get what they wanted. And now Israel, some of the tribes anyway, have gone out and found Jephthah. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Was originally that they didn't care to have him around, but now that they need a leader, all of a sudden he's a handy fellow, so they brought him back, and they asked Jephthah to be their leader and to be the captain of their host as they fight against the Ammonites. Well, the first thing Jephthah does, and you'll see it in this passage, is he has an interchange with those enemies to find out what it is that is the problem. Why do you want to fight with us? And that's what this passage is all about. And it's quite a long passage to cover that particular discussion. I'll show you what was said and some application for it, but let's just talk about some application in general. First of all, as Christians, we would like to find a peaceable solution to conflict, wouldn't we? We're peaceable people. Israel was a peaceable people. Now, truthfully, God gave them the promised land, and they conquered that promised land. But folks, it was not their fight, it was God's fight. Amen. And God gave them that land, and we'll hear some about that here in just a minute. But we are, as Christians, we are a peaceable people. We do not seek out the fight, but folks, there are times when we have to fight. So, Pastor, when would you have to fight? Why can't we just compromise and get along with everybody? Now, there are some times when you have to fight. For example, we have to fight for truth. Example, I'm not going to teach my children or allow my children to be taught evolution is the truth. Evolution's a lie. Say, well, Pastor, How are you going to do that? I don't know. Put them in Christian school, homeschool, something, but I'm not going to have them taught that evolution is the truth. And it breaks my heart to think of all those little kindergartners in the K-4 and K-5 age group that go to some school and hear some teacher tell them that there is no God, that they evolved from whatever. And those little children, as impressionable as they are, believe that. Folks, listen to me. In the beginning, God created. Someone says, well, that's not scientific. It's a lot more scientific than evolution. If you want to talk about science, let's talk about thermodynamics. Let's talk about chemistry. Let's talk about the laws of physics, all of which must be violated in order for evolution to take place. So the very science that I was taught as an engineering student in college and as a high school student must all go out the window in order for evolution to be true. We got a problem. No, folks, the Bible's the truth, and that's the end of it. Even, and by the way, there was a time in the 1800s when, and you know the man's name, Darwin came along, and Darwin wrote a book which was a theory. It was a suggestion. And he said, you know, I think this might be what happened. And people ate that stuff up. And it became so popular, and there was such a force created by that theory that some theologians got nervous. And they adopted what's now called the day-age theory, which said, well, maybe those days when God created people were really long periods of time. Maybe those were thousands of years, for example, or maybe those were even longer than that. And maybe we can find a way to reconcile evolution and the Bible. You're saying, well, nobody would be that foolish. Now, the Pope even believes that. And listen to me, the day-age theory is impossible, and I'll tell you why. Adam was created on the sixth day, and he lived all the way through the seventh day into the eighth day. So if Adam didn't live 1,000 years, so much for the day-age theory, all right? But why did those folks come up with that day-age theory? Because they were afraid that science might embarrass them. Well, 100-some-odd years later, it's the scientists that ought to be embarrassed. Amen?
Amen.
Sometimes you have to fight for the truth.
Amen.
I can't go into the entire list, but we fight for the truth. We fight for the things that God gave us. God gave us holiness, and He gave us standards. Someone says, you know what you need to do, Pastor, is you need to accept homosexuality. It's not a sin. It's a lifestyle. No, it's a sin.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's going to start a fight. No, I'm not starting the fight. I just have a Bible. And if someone tells me that I must disregard the Bible, now we have a disagreement. And that is pictured, that picture of a disagreement is what you see here in Judges chapter 11. I'm not going to read the passage. It's quite long. I'll read portions of it. But let's have a word of prayer, and I'll spend a few minutes showing you this argument that Jephthah has with Ammon and what comes of all of it, and then we'll apply that and close in prayer. Father, thank you this evening for the encouragement that your people are to one another and to us. Thank you for folks tonight that would come in and as a form of testimony would read scripture verses and just tell us that God has spoken to them, and Lord, what great verses they read tonight. Lord, thank you that we can gather together and pray. I would ask that you'd help us to better understand the power that is evident when we as a church pray for people. Lord, thank you for our church. We know if the devil would have his way that this church would be dissolved tomorrow. But Lord, thank you that you've kept it and you've protected it and you've even chosen to add to it lately. Lord, we pray for the showers of blessings like we hear about in some other churches that where many people are being saved and added to the church. And Lord, I ask you to work in our lives to prepare us so that we can be vessels fit for the Master's use to see such results here as well. God, help us to understand the message tonight and apply it properly. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here we go. First of all, Jephthah, in verse 11, sends the messengers to the king of Ammon, and he says, okay, what hast thou to do with me that thou art come against me to fight in my land? Why do you want to fight? And remember this, the Ammonites came to Israel and said, we're going to whip you. And Israel said, well, can you at least tell us what the problem is here? Jephthah explains that in verse 12. And so in verse 13, the king of the children of Ammon answered, and he said, because Israel took away my land. when they came up out of Egypt, from Arnon even unto Jabbok and unto Jordan. Those three names there, Arnon, Jabbok, and Jordan, are all three the names of rivers. You know the Jordan River runs north and south. Arnon and Jabbok run east and west. And the area, what he's done is he's drawn a box. He's drawn the top of the box, the Jordan River, and the bottom of the box. And that's the region where Reuben is living, that God had given. God gave that land to Reuben, and he wants it back. He says, Israel took away my land. Now, you wouldn't know it right now, but he's not being honest. He's not being altogether honest. He makes a claim, but he's leaving some things out. And isn't that the way the devil works? It popped into my mind. I'll pick this one. When people began to promote the modern versions of the Bible, and you read the books that defend those modern versions, they will start out by saying something like this. Well, you know, all scribes make mistakes. That sounds reasonable, someone says. Yeah, I suppose a scribe could make a mistake. And then they'll talk about how the scribes made mistakes in days of old. And so, obviously, it's impossible to have a pure copy of the Word of God. No, it's not impossible if God preserved it. Amen? So I understand God had to do a work to preserve his word. They didn't mention that. They didn't mention Psalm 12, 6 and 7 that says the words of the Lord are pure words. Thou shalt keep them. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I know I'd only quoted part of that, but anyway. They didn't mention that part. They didn't say scribes make mistakes. The devil starts out with a lie. Yea, hath God said. In your life, in the lives of Christians that are wrestling with sin, the devil came to them, he comes to you, he comes to me, and he says, you know, this really isn't as bad as God said it would be. This sin is really going to bring you pleasure and not hurt you at all. You just got to be careful to realize that it's not like God said it was. No, you got to be careful to realize it's just like God said it was. Amen? And the reason teenagers are so often captured by the devil is because teenagers are impressionable and they do not know the pain that sin brings. And so the devil comes to the teenager and says, oh, if you had this, you'd be happy. And the teenager doesn't have the information to make a wise decision, so they choose the sin, and they choose another sin, they choose another sin. Before you know it, sin has them wrapped up tight. And that's why we need godly parents and godly youth pastors to protect our children. That's why we need to teach our children how to act, how to dress, how to talk, and to stay away from the things of the world. I go into homes all the time. I was in a home last night, and there was a show on the TV. It's a Disney show. Now, I'm just going to say it, okay? Disney has been teaching children the wrong way to dress and the wrong kind of music and the wrong philosophy for a long time. And the parents are thinking, oh, this is a children's program. It must be good. Don't talk about a rabbit trail. When I was a child and I got up on Saturday morning and watched the cartoon, it was Bugs Bunny. What else did we watch? Sir? Roadrunner. Oh, I love Roadrunner. Amen. Pink Panther, maybe a little, but he's kind of scary a little bit. Roadrunner was good. You know, Bugs Bunny, that's about all I can remember. But you know what I'm talking about. Today, all the cartoons are wicked stuff. It's people that they're trusting in, you know, medallions and things that give them power, and it's witchcraft, and it's people that are dressed horribly, and they say wicked things, and they joke about sin. And you say, well, it's a children's program. Yeah, it teaches the children to be that way, doesn't it? Be careful what you let your children have. They're learning what to love. It's just like if you feed them sweet things all the time, then they'll learn to love sweet things. And you got to keep your children on a good diet, you know, and teach them that there are other things in the world besides sugar. Where am I going with all this? Here's what the deal is. Sometimes we have to fight. Sometimes we have to say no. Israel had to say no. This is not the way it is. The devil is a liar, and he uses subtlety to deceive people. You people took away our land. Well, let's see what really happened as we go on. He says in verse 13, therefore, we want you to restore these lands again peaceably. Well, Jephthah has a second round of discussion with him. He sent messengers again to the king of Ammon. And he said unto him, Thus saith Jephthah. In other words, let me just make sure you understand, this is coming from me. Folks, there's nothing wrong with standing up for God and saying, God said it and I agree with it.
Amen?
Amen? I'll leave that rabbit trail alone. I haven't got time. So he said unto him, thus saith Jephthah, Israel took not away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. But, and we ought to read this story. It's interesting. He says, when Israel came up from Egypt, and they walked through the wilderness under the Red Sea, they came to Kadesh. Now, a little more map here. The southern border of Israel, the way down in the south of the Negev Desert, there is a line. You've seen it on the map. The very southern border of Israel, that's Kadesh, okay? Very far south, not anywhere near this land that he's fighting about here. It says, they came to Kadesh, and they sent messengers unto Edom in verse 17, and they said, let me pass through the land. The king of Edom would not hearken thereto. In like manner they sent unto the king of Moab, but he wouldn't consent. And Israel abode in Kadesh. He's leaving something out here. Then they turned around and they wandered through the desert a little bit. But anyway, he didn't talk about the 40 years and so on. They went along through the wilderness and compassed the land of Edom, the land of Moab. And they came by the east side of the land of Moab. So they're way over to the east of Moab, far from the Jordan River, farther from the Mediterranean Sea. He says, and they came not within the border of Moab, and Israel sent messengers, verse 19, unto Sihon, the king of the Amorites. Now, these are the people that are fussing with him right now, the Ammonites and the Amorites. And the king of Heshbon, and Israel said unto him, let us pass, we pray thee, through thy land into my place. We just want to cross your territory. That's all we want. Verse 20. But Sihon trusted not Israel to pass through his coast, but Sihon gathered all his people together and pitched in Jahaz and fought against Israel. Now you need to know a little more. This is my last geography lesson here. Jahaz is right in the middle of that box that I drew you a while ago with those three rivers. Jahaz is right in the middle of that. And he says, they fought against Israel in Jahaz. And look at verse 21. And the Lord God of Israel delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they smote them. So Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country, and they possessed all the coasts of the Amorites from Arnon even unto Jabbok, from the wilderness even unto Jordan, this very same land that these people were fussing about in verse 13. So now, verse 23, the Lord God of Israel hath dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel, and shouldest thou possess it? In other words, you didn't tell us the truth here. We were willing to come through peaceably, and rather than that, you decided you wanted a war, and you got whipped, and God gave us the land. That's what really happened. Now, you understand the conflict now? So we're almost done here. We're out of time, but let me just finish up here. He says in verse 24, oh, I love this. Wilt not thou possess that which Chemosh thy God giveth thee to possess? He said, you've got a God. Our God gave us this land. Let your God give you some land. Well, here's a problem. Their God's a fake. He is nothing. He is a figment of the imagination. They have rejected the God of Israel, the God that we worship. They've chosen other gods. And folks, those gods don't deliver. Amen. Those gods don't give anything. They are imposters. They are fabrications. They don't have a God. They have no one to give them something, so they want what Israel has. Folks, we have a God. Amen. He's given us things. Amen? Amen? Say, Pastor, what's he given me? He's given you holiness. Amen. He's given you his word. He's given you protection, and he's given you direction. And by the way, the Bible says every good gift cometh from above. Amen. If you've got it and it's good, a spouse, a family, children, health, provision, a church, anything you've got that's good came from God. Amen. They don't have a God. And he's kind of poking fun at that right there, and good for him. He says in verse 24, so whomsoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, them will we possess. If God gave it to us, we're going to take it. And then he goes on, and I'll just kind of explain this without reading all of it. He says, you know, the king of Moab, he didn't strive about this. He says, Israel dwelt in Heshbon and her towns and so on. He said, and this was 300 years ago in verse 26, why didn't you come to us within the last 300 years? Why now? They really are not dealing with Israel honestly. And folks, don't expect the devil to deal honestly. Amen?
Amen.
So, verse 27, he asked this question. He says, wherefore, I have not sinned against thee, but thou doest me wrong to war against me. The Lord, the judge, be judge this day between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon. So in other words, Jephthah has pled his case. He says, and I won't repeat the whole story, but he says, you're not being honest about this. God gave us this land. You had your chance and you blew it. You don't have a God, and you could have done what's right earlier and you didn't, and you waited 300 years and all of a sudden you want your land back? Not happening. Now, I used to have the misconception that if you could find someone that was, I use the word logical, and have enough time that you could persuade them to listen to the truth. I gave that idea up a long time ago. There are people that you can show them in the Bible. You can show them. I used to sit and talk to the Mormons in Salt Lake City for hours and try to explain to them, you know, look at all the ridiculous things that Joseph Smith taught. And I'd think, you know, they would listen to reason. Folks, I'm sorry to tell you, there are people that won't listen to reason. The devil should have had enough sense to know, you know, in my little limited ability to understand things, he should have had enough sense to know you can't outpower God, but he tried, didn't he? Don't let it surprise you when some people won't listen. So here's the way it works. A lady came to my door on a Sunday afternoon. She was a Jehovah's Witness. I was coming home from church. You've heard this story before. I will tell a little bit of it. And she proceeded to tell me that I need to come visit their Jehovah's Witnesses cult thing. And I said, no, I believe the Bible. Jesus is God the Son, not just a created being who's a lesser God. And if you had any Bible knowledge, you'd know that. And I read her some verses out of the Bible, and she wouldn't listen to them. And I said, fine, here's the deal. Please get off my porch. In fact, please leave my neighborhood. I don't want you sending my neighbors to hell. Go somewhere else. I say, Pastor, that's not very kind. I don't want her leading my neighbors to hell. And if she won't listen to the truth, now we have to part ways. Now, I'm nobody, and truthfully, it's what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen?
But folks, don't be afraid to stand up and just tell folks, Mr. Leader's testimony is perfect tonight. Is there a hell? Yeah. I guess I'm inclined to say the Bible says there is. And I believe the Bible.
Amen.
End of story. And I'm sorry you don't. I'll pray for you. I hope maybe God would open your eyes. He probably shouldn't have said all that at one time. He'd have probably got kicked out of class if he tried that. But there's a time to fight. Amen?
Amen?
Jephthah comes along and he says, look, you're lying. You say we took your land away from you. It didn't happen that way at all. And here's the plan. We're not leaving. And so now, maybe you'll consider. No, look at verse 28. The king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jephthah, which he sent him, and now there's going to be a war. Folks, we didn't pick the fight. And in my emotions and my flesh, I can get angry about it. It doesn't do any good to get angry. I get tired of that silly word, homophobic. You heard that word?
Amen.
I'm not afraid of anybody except the Lord. If you would be, you'd understand the Bible's the truth and homosexuality is a wicked sin. So you're homophobic, Pastor. No, I'm not. I'm a biblicist, and I want them to get saved. I am afraid. I'm afraid they're going to go to hell. And I guess if you want to call me names, that's fine. They blasphemed the Lord Jesus Christ and called him names. Call me names too. But folks, the fact is, the devil doesn't fight fair. And the devil's not going to be honest with you, and you can't negotiate with that. Maybe we can find a middle ground. No, the middle ground is no truth. The middle ground is compromise. This is truth. Amen? So there's going to be a fight. Okay, I will read my outline to you and we are done. What are the characteristics of the enemies of God? First of all, untrue accusations, we saw that. Unreasonable demands, we saw that. Unprovoked attacks, which also result in unjust opposition, we saw that. Useless false gods, we saw that. And they are unwilling to listen. But we're going to keep telling them anyway, amen? Perhaps somebody would listen. Don't feel guilty when you try to convince somebody that you love the Lord and you love them and you want them to accept the truth, and they turn on you, even viciously. That's just the way the enemies of God are sometimes. And we cannot back away from that. The truth is what it is, and I cannot deny the truth. Amen? If I'd have thought, I'd have read you a martyr story to close the message. There have been so many people that have been martyred because they would not deny the truth. That doesn't mean we go after these folks. What's going to happen is there's going to be a battle, but Jephthah didn't start the fight. And by the way, he's not the one that finished it. God's the one that gave the victory. Amen? Think about the end of time in the Revelation. I won't go through all of it, but you understand there is the seven-year tribulation. At the end of the seven-year tribulation, the Lord's going to set foot on the earth, and he is going to defeat the enemies of God in a battle we call the Battle of Armageddon, which will take place at Megiddo, which is a real place inside Israel, and there's going to be a massive slaughter, and then there's going to be a thousand-year reign of Christ. And at the end of that thousand years, Satan's going to be loosed. And when Satan is loosed, he's going to deceive the nations, and they're all going to come against Israel again. And that time, it's a very quick battle. The Lord consumes them with the sword of his mouth. That's it. He's done. Fight is part of what we are involved in, is fighting. And then there will be peace for all eternity. Amen? I can't wait.